In 2011, a peculiar trend emerged on Reddit. Young men in their 20s were reporting erectile dysfunction when with real partners, despite maintaining rock-hard erections while watching online pornography. This phenomenon, initially dismissed by the medical establishment, sparked neurobiologist Gary Wilson's investigation into what would become a global epidemic. Your Brain on Porn quickly became the Bible for thousands suffering from mysterious sexual dysfunctions, with recovery forums sprouting worldwide, some Chinese forums alone boasting over 800,000 members. The book has influenced celebrities like Terry Crews, who publicly discussed his porn addiction recovery, and has been referenced in major publications from Time Magazine to the New York Times. As internet pornography consumption reaches unprecedented levels, with Pornhub alone reporting 42 billion visits in 2019, Wilson's work stands as perhaps the most important examination of how unlimited sexual novelty affects the human brain in the digital age. The human brain evolved over millions of years in an environment where sexual stimuli were limited and required effort to obtain. Then came the internet revolution. In evolutionary terms, this shift happened overnight. Our primitive reward circuitry suddenly confronted with unlimited sexual novelty available at the click of a button. This dramatic change occurred in mere decades, while our neural architecture remains largely unchanged from our hunter-gatherer ancestors. This represents a fundamental mismatch between our evolved biology and modern technology. Our brains contain ancient circuits designed to motivate reproduction through dopamine-driven pursuit of sexual opportunity. These mechanisms evolved to ensure genetic diversity by making novel potential mates particularly arousing, what scientists call the Coolidge effect. Research with both humans and animals demonstrates that sexual interest naturally wanes with familiar partners, but rekindles dramatically with new ones. In natural settings, this drive is self-limiting. There are only so many potential partners available in any given social group or geographic area. Internet pornography removes these natural constraints while amplifying the stimuli. Modern tube sites offer endless novel partners, extreme acts, and constant variety, all accessible instantly without effort or social consequences. Each new video, each unexpected scene, each taboo act triggers dopamine searches in primitive brain regions that don't distinguish between pixels and people. The brain's reward circuitry simply registers jackpot, more genetic opportunities than any ancestor ever encountered. Studies show that this artificial abundance can lead to a phenomenon called sexual exhaustion in laboratory animals, yet the human drive to seek continues. The technology has evolved faster than our understanding of its effects. While static Playboy magazines required imagination and provided natural stopping points, today's streaming videos offer constant novelty and surprise, key factors in maintaining elevated dopamine levels. Users describe opening multiple tabs, jumping between videos, and spending hours edging without climax, all behaviors that maximize dopamine stimulation far beyond anything our ancestors experienced. These novel patterns of use can maintain arousal states for extended periods, creating intensity of stimulation that would be impossible in natural encounters. This technological leap has created what scientists call a supernormal stimulus, an exaggerated version of natural rewards that hijacks our evolved response systems. Just as junk food companies engineer perfect combinations of salt, sugar, and fat that override our satiation mechanisms, porn sites have inadvertently created the perfect formula for capturing attention and driving compulsive use. The instant accessibility, infinite variety, and escalating intensity of content can overwhelm natural satiety signals. Neuroimaging studies show that prolonged exposure can lead to desensitization of reward pathways, requiring ever more stimulation to achieve the same effect, a pattern similar to other behavioral addictions. The unprecedented scale of this experiment in human sexuality has implications beyond individual users. Some researchers suggest it may be affecting relationship formation, sexual development, and pair bonding mechanisms that evolved over millions of years. As virtual sexual experiences become increasingly immersive through VR and other technologies, the gap between our evolved mating psychology and modern capabilities continues to widen. To understand pornography's powerful grip, we must first understand dopamine, not as the pleasure chemical it's often portrayed as, but as the driving force behind wanting, seeking, and anticipation. Dopamine doesn't create pleasure itself. That's primarily the role of opioids in the brain. Rather, it creates the urgent motivation to pursue potential rewards. When you experience a dopamine surge, you feel an almost irresistible urge to pursue whatever triggered it. This mechanism evolved to ensure survival behaviors. Eating, mating, exploring receive priority attention. Dopamine essentially tells your brain, this is important. Remember what led to this. Do it again. Sexual stimuli naturally produce some of the highest dopamine surges possible without drugs. Internet pornography, with its endless novelty and surprise, can drive dopamine to levels that rival those seen in drug use. Each new video, unexpected scene, or shocking taboo creates another spike, training the brain to return to the source of such powerful stimulation. This process involves multiple brain changes. First comes sensitization, the creation of super memories linking sexual arousal with specific cues, like the computer, being alone, or particular types of content. These pathways become hypersensitive, triggering powerful cravings when activated by environmental cues. Many users describe feeling on autopilot when they encounter triggers, as if their conscious mind has been bypassed. Simultaneously, desensitization occurs as the brain adapts to excessive stimulation by reducing dopamine receptors and signaling. This creates tolerance, needing more stimulation to feel the same level of arousal, and often manifests as escalation to more extreme content or difficulty maintaining interest in real partners. The prefrontal cortex, responsible for decision-making and impulse control, becomes impaired through a process called hypofrontality. This weakens willpower precisely when it's most needed. Finally, stress circuits become dysregulated, making even minor frustrations potential triggers for relapse. These neuroplastic changes aren't theoretical. They've been observed in brain scans of internet addicts and specifically in porn users. A groundbreaking Max Planck Institute study found that higher porn use correlated with reduced gray matter in reward circuitry and weaker connections to the prefrontal cortex. Cambridge University researchers discovered that porn addicts' reward centers showed hyperreactivity to porn cues compared to controls, a classic sign of addiction-related sensitization. Perhaps the most concerning aspect of internet pornography is its power to condition sexual arousal to screens rather than people. The brain learns through association. Neurons that fire together wire together. When orgasm repeatedly occurs while viewing screens, clicking between videos, or watching unusual acts, these elements become wired into arousal pathways. This process mirrors classical conditioning, similar to Pavlov's experiments, where the brain creates strong associations between previously unrelated stimuli. This conditioning happens unconsciously through multiple mechanisms. While a user might intellectually understand porn isn't realistic, their brain simultaneously learns to associate specific stimuli with sexual excitement. The constant clicking, searching, and switching between videos creates a powerful seeking behavior pattern that becomes intertwined with arousal. Many users report developing unexpected fetishes or interests that don't align with their original preferences, a process that accelerates through adolescence when the brain is especially plastic. These new interests often escalate to more extreme content as tolerance builds. Adolescent brains are particularly vulnerable because they're undergoing a critical developmental period when sexual templates are being established. Their reward systems produce higher dopamine spikes in response to novelty, sometimes 2 to 4 times greater than adult brains. And they generate more delta-phos-B, the molecular switch that creates lasting addiction-related brain changes. For teens whose first sexual experiences occur with internet pornography rather than real partners, the conditioning can be profound. Studies show that early exposure to pornography can significantly shape sexual preferences and expectations. This conditioning explains why many young men report porn-induced erectile dysfunction. They can maintain erections with extreme pornography, but not with real partners. Their arousal has become dependent on screens, constant novelty, being a voyeur rather than a participant, and often specific acts or scenarios that don't translate to real-world encounters. Some report needing to fantasize about porn scenes to maintain arousal with real partners, highlighting how deeply ingrained these neural pathways become. The brain doesn't distinguish between porn and not porn, it responds to whatever triggers dopamine spikes. This is why substituting soft content like bikini photos or dating apps often fails to break the cycle. The problem isn't nudity per se, but the combination of screen-based sexual stimulation and endless novelty that creates supernormal stimulation. The instant accessibility and infinite variety of internet porn creates a stimulus far more intense than anything our ancestors encountered. Fortunately, brain plasticity works both ways. Many users report that unwanted fetishes and erectile problems fade after months without porn, though recovery typically takes longer for those who began using high-speed internet porn during adolescence. The brain can relearn to associate arousal with real partners, but this requires a period of abstinence from artificial stimulation. This healing process, known as rebooting, typically takes 3 to 6 months, though individual experiences vary widely. Success rates improve when users understand the neurological basis of their condition and maintain realistic expectations about recovery timelines. While sexual problems initially drove men to investigate pornography's effects, recovery forums quickly filled with reports of improvements in seemingly unrelated areas. Users consistently reported reduced social anxiety, increased energy levels, clearer thinking, improved concentration, alleviation of depression symptoms, and renewed interest in daily activities. These testimonials emerged across different age groups and backgrounds, suggesting a pattern that transcended individual circumstances. These widespread reports indicate pornography affects far more than just sexual function. Neuroscience provides compelling explanations. Chronic overstimulation of the reward system affects dopamine signaling throughout the brain, creating cascading effects on motivation, focus, mood regulation, and social behavior. This mirrors patterns seen in other behavioral addictions, where excessive stimulation leads to broad neurological adaptations. Social anxiety improvements are particularly common and striking. Psychiatrist Norman Doidge suggests that intense pornography stimulation hijacks brain regions that would otherwise make social ties rewarding, effectively making real people less appealing than virtual ones. Users report struggling with basic social interactions, from maintaining eye contact to engaging in casual conversation. When users abstain, these systems gradually rebalance, and many report dramatic reductions in social anxiety, panic attacks, and avoidance behaviors. Some describe being able to confidently approach social situations that previously terrified them, from dating to public speaking. Cognitive improvements feature prominently in recovery stories. Users describe elimination of brain fog, enhanced memory recall, improved writing ability, and better information retention after quitting. Many report being able to focus on books again, complete complex tasks more efficiently, and maintain attention during long conversations. Research confirms that internet addiction correlates with memory, concentration, and impulse control problems. German researchers have found that even moderate porn use correlates with reduced gray matter in brain regions associated with cognitive function, particularly the striatum and prefrontal cortex. Perhaps most surprising are the mood improvements. Scientists now view depression as a condition of low energy and diminished motivation, with dopamine playing the central role in reward-seeking behavior and emotional regulation. When recovering users report significant improvements in mood, energy levels, and motivation after quitting, they're describing the restoration of normal dopamine function. Many describe dramatic reductions in depression symptoms, some finding relief superior to prescription medications. Users report renewed interest in hobbies, improved sleep patterns, and a general sense of emotional stability that had been absent during heavy use. These diverse improvements make sense when we understand that dopamine affects multiple brain functions beyond sexual arousal. The neurotransmitter influences everything from motor control to decision-making, emotional regulation to reward processing. By allowing the reward system to rebalance, users often experience a comprehensive renewal of well-being that extends far beyond the bedroom. Recovery stories frequently mention improved relationships with family members, better performance at work, and a restored sense of life purpose, suggesting that pornography's effects and the benefits of recovery touch nearly every aspect of life. Adolescence represents a critical period of brain development characterized by heightened neuroplasticity, especially in regions governing sexuality, emotion regulation, and reward processing. During this time, the brain undergoes massive reorganization, actively pruning and strengthening neuroconnections based on experience, essentially deciding which pathways to cement into adulthood. This process, known as synaptic pruning, operates on a use-it-or-lose-it principle, making adolescents particularly susceptible to environmental influences. This developmental window creates unique vulnerability to pornography's effects. Teenage brains produce higher dopamine spikes in response to novelty and generate more delta-phosphe, the molecular switch for addiction-related changes, than adult brains, sometimes up to 400% more. Their prefrontal cortex, responsible for impulse control, long-term planning, and decision-making, remains under construction until approximately age 25, making them significantly less able to override powerful urges or critically evaluate potentially harmful behaviors. Research confirms these neurobiological concerns with mounting evidence. A comprehensive 2014 Canadian study revealed surprisingly high rates of sexual dysfunction in adolescent males, 53.5%, with erectile dysfunction and low sexual desire being most common. Similar studies in Italy and Switzerland have reported comparable findings, with rates of erectile dysfunction in men under 40 increasing fourfold since 2000. Recovery patterns consistently show that younger users who started with internet porn during adolescence require significantly longer to recover, often 4 to 6 months, compared to mere weeks for older men who established real sex pathways before high-speed internet became ubiquitous. The implications extend far beyond individual health into broader societal patterns. As the first generation raised with unlimited access to internet pornography reaches adulthood, concerning trends are emerging. Decreased interest in forming real relationships, delayed marriage rates, reduced intimacy skills, and widespread sexual dysfunction. In Japan, the percentage of men aged 16 to 49 showing no interest in real-world sexual relationships doubled or tripled between 2008-2010. While France reported 20% of young men expressing disinterest in sex despite regular pornography consumption. Similar patterns have emerged in other developed nations, with studies in the UK and US showing declining sexual activity among young adults despite increased digital sexual content consumption. This generational shift may represent an unprecedented experiment in human sexuality, one with consequences we're only beginning to understand. Unlike previous generations who experienced real partners before encountering artificial stimuli, today's youth often establish their sexual templates through screens before having any intimate contact with real people. This inverted learning pattern appears to be creating novel challenges in sexual development and relationship formation. Neuroimaging studies show that early exposure to pornography during critical developmental periods can alter neural reward circuitry, potentially affecting everything from partner preference to sexual response patterns. The combination of highly plastic adolescent brains, unlimited access to novel sexual content, and decreased real-world sexual experience is creating what some researchers term a perfect storm for sexual development disruption. This makes understanding and addressing adolescent pornography exposure an urgent public health priority. Recovery from pornography's effects begins with a complete break from artificial sexual stimulation, what users call rebooting. This reset period allows the brain's reward circuitry to restore sensitivity, reduce compulsive pathways, strengthen willpower through frontal lobe recovery, and decrease stress-triggered cravings. The reboot process typically takes 2 to 6 months, though recovery timelines vary widely based on age, duration of use, and individual factors. Younger users who began with internet pornography during adolescence generally require longer recovery periods than older men who established real sex pathways before high-speed internet. During this process, many experience withdrawal symptoms reminiscent of drug withdrawals: insomnia, anxiety, irritability, mood swings, headaches, restlessness, fatigue, poor concentration, depression, and cravings. Some report more severe symptoms like shaking, flu-like symptoms, or muscle cramps. Perhaps the most disconcerting withdrawal symptom is the flatline, a temporary but complete loss of libido that appears unique to porn withdrawal. During this phase, the penis appears lifeless and small, as if somebody just pulled the plug on the sex drive. Many panic and return to porn, fearing permanent damage. However, those who persevere typically experience a return of natural sexual function around 7 to 8 weeks into recovery. Successful recovery requires both abstinence and lifestyle changes. Exercise emerges as the most universally beneficial technique, serving as both distraction from urges and mood regulation through increased dopamine. Daily meditation helps keep the prefrontal cortex in the driver's seat while quieting primitive brain regions driving impulsive behavior. Creative pursuits and meaningful social connections provide healthy alternatives to the dopamine hits formerly supplied by pornography. The recovery journey isn't linear. Most experience the chaser effect, intense, often unexpected cravings that follow orgasm, whether from partnered sex or masturbation. Many report disturbing dreams or flashbacks of pornographic content. The key is treating these as normal aspects of recovery rather than signs of failure or permanent damage. Perhaps most importantly, successful rebooters maintain a sense of humor, accept their humanity, and gradually steer themselves into healthier patterns without harsh self-judgment. Since sex is a fundamental drive, transitioning away from intense pornography stimulation requires patience, flexibility, and self-forgiveness after slips, much like learning any complex skill. Several common mistakes can significantly derail recovery efforts, often leading to relapse and discouragement. Understanding and actively avoiding these pitfalls can dramatically improve success rates and accelerate healing. Edging, masturbating to the brink of orgasm repeatedly without climaxing, stands as the most destructive behavior undermining recovery success. This practice keeps dopamine at peak levels for extended periods, sometimes hours or even multiple sessions across days, strongly reinforcing neural pathways connecting arousal to whatever is being viewed. Unlike traditional masturbation that ends quickly with orgasm, edging maintains a continuous state of craving without satisfaction, training the brain to require increasingly prolonged visual stimulation. Many users report that even a single edging session can trigger intense cravings lasting several days, effectively resetting progress. Substituting non-porn arousing content represents another significant obstacle. This includes browsing bikini photos, lingerie ads, dating apps, or social media accounts for arousal. The brain doesn't distinguish between porn and not porn. It responds to whatever triggers dopamine spikes. The critical question to ask is, what brain training led to my problems, and am I repeating it? Whether it's Instagram models or adult content, the neural response remains similar. Users often fool themselves by claiming these alternatives are harmless, but they maintain the same addictive pathways. Fantasizing about pornographic content similarly reinforces sensitized pathways and can trigger intense cravings. Neuroscience research demonstrates that fantasizing activates many of the same neural circuits as actually performing an activity. During early recovery, most find avoiding sexual fantasy entirely helps reduce cravings and accelerates healing. As recovery progresses, natural fantasy about potential real-life partners may gradually resume, helping rewire the brain toward healthy sexuality. For those struggling with sexual dysfunction, forcing sexual performance often leads to frustration and setbacks. Contrary to popular advice, individuals with porn-induced erectile dysfunction typically heal faster by allowing their libido to reawaken naturally rather than forcing performance through medication or excessive attempts. During recovery, keeping sexual activity gentle, patient, and low pressure proves more effective than attempting to prove or force functionality. Perhaps the most insidious pitfall is believing a porn-induced fetish represents an unchangeable sexual identity. The belief that I can't help my fetishes, that's just who I am, can completely block recovery by making users feel they're abandoning their only path to sexual fulfillment. Many users develop escalating interests in more extreme content over time, mistaking this progression for innate preferences. Only by maintaining complete abstinence from pornography can someone accurately determine whether they're dealing with a porn-induced superficial fetish or a genuine sexual orientation. Countless recovered users report their extreme tastes and interests naturally faded after 3 to 6 months without pornography exposure, replaced by attraction to real partners and conventional intimacy. The pornography debate often focuses on moral or religious objections, but Wilson's approach centers on neurological evidence and health outcomes. This perspective shifts the conversation from subjective values to objective impacts on brain function and relationships. The evidence suggests we're witnessing an unprecedented experiment in human sexuality, with consequences we're only beginning to understand. Unlike previous generations who experienced real partners before encountering artificial stimuli, today's youth often establish their sexual templates through screens before having any intimate contact with real people. This shift has profound implications for relationships, intimacy skills, and sexual health. Research shows that after pornography exposure, both men and women report less satisfaction with their partners, not just regarding physical appearance, but also warmth and intelligence. They also begin prioritizing sex without emotional involvement. The porn industry's tactics mirror Big Tobacco's playbook of creating doubt about scientific evidence. Just as tobacco companies delayed public awareness of smoking dangers for decades through manufactured uncertainty, similar patterns emerge with internet pornography. When something becomes normalized, people assume it must be harmless. Yet, as with smoking, widespread use doesn't guarantee safety. Education efforts face significant challenges. The good porn, bad porn proposal creates endless value debates where vocal groups lobby for their preferred content. Yet content type may matter less than today's delivery method. Since streaming video clips became available, escalating sexual tastes and dysfunctions appear across all orientations due to the prolonged dopamine high from endless novel content. Rather than unresolvable moral debates, focusing on scientific evidence about pornography's neurological effects allows users to make informed choices. The most effective approach may be similar to how we handle other potential health risks. Provide accurate information about mechanisms and outcomes, then allow individuals to make their own decisions based on personal experience rather than external agendas. As one recovered user eloquently stated, quitting creates a foundation, a plowed field in which you can sow seeds for a new future, free from secrecy and shame. This perspective offers hope that even as technology continues to evolve, human resilience and adaptability, guided by scientific understanding, can help us navigate the challenges of the digital age.